Gar and I, as you know, as we sit here together and talk about this, we understand accountability, and we are accountable for what this team did this year. We don't run away from it. We accept it. That's on us.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
For me to be here in the NBA organization, such a historic organization, the Chicago Bulls, so it's just a dream come true for me.
Live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday.
This is going to be a process. You'll snap your fingers and it all happens at once, but that's the plan moving forward.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day. Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Jordan Malley along with Matt Peck. We're live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we are live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Subscribe to the show, iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you find podcasts, you'll find us. Make sure to follow the Locked On Podcast Network on Facebook and Twitter as well. As well as our friends over at Locked On Bears. If you're a Chicago Bears fan, go give them a subscribe. Go follow them on Twitter at Locked On Bears. So we're back. Obviously, if you listen to our episode that we dropped late last night, it didn't include anything about the Pacers-Bulls matchup, but that's what we're here today to do for you. We're going to give you a little short, quick 15-20-minute episode here, just kind of recapping this game and also maybe take a look at, give you a little bit of a tank update in terms of some of the top prospects and how they've played over the last week or so, 2 weeks. Kind of give you a little bit of a recap on that. But last night's loss, this was a crushing one for Bulls fans, and most importantly for the Bulls locker room in general. This was a really tough loss to take on the tongue.
Yeah, Jordan, it was tough. I watched this game from start to finish last night, and as much as it's kind of funny to joke about, like, oh yeah, another great tank win, aka a loss, the Bulls snatching defeat from the jaws of victory, it was really demoralizing. Even as a fan who knows that the Bulls should be stacking up as many losses as they can this season to secure that number one pick or give themselves the best chance to do so, it just felt like, you know, a 9-game losing streak. They had let a couple of other winnable games slip away. You know, they had a 19-point lead against the Lakers, an 18-point lead against the Nuggets already in this losing streak. And you just thought, like, the Bulls outplayed the Pacers for 42 minutes, but it's a 48-minute game. I mean, they took the lead from the tip, and they held that lead most of the game. It was a double-digit lead, and just an epic collapse. I mean, you feel bad for Chris Dunn, who had a strong night. He started out great, 8 points, 5 assists, 0 turnovers in the first quarter, and then he finished with 18, but just 6 assists, and then added 4 turnovers to that great start. Denzel Valentine with a brutal turnover late in this game when the Bulls were trying desperately to hold on to that lead. You have a Dunn missed step-back jumper and a Markkanen missed desperation three at the buzzer. Just heartbreaking. You could tell Fred Hoiberg with his brief comments to the media after the game, this one stung hard.
So that you bring up a good point, and so we're going to start right there off the bat with talking about, you know, in terms of how to take this loss. I get it from the standpoint of for the Bulls in general and for the guys on this team that a win would have been nice tonight to actually close out a game and to kind of snap this losing streak. I get that in that sense, but I think we need to pump the brakes a little bit here. Like, let's not get so uptight and so out of whack on how that this is like an indictment on these young players and that they're going to all of a sudden develop these horrible habits that they can't close out games. Let's remember, we're 23 games into the first year of a rebuild. We've got a rookie starting every single night out there. You've got Chris Dunn, which you could arguably say this is like really his first taste of action of like being a legit starter in the NBA and playing night in and night out. So I think we've got to take a breath, take a step back and say, you know what, like as much as you would have liked this win and you would want them to close out this game, it's not, I don't think it's that big of a deal. And I don't think that there's this formula or there's this trend happening where the Bulls are going to all of a sudden have this inability to close out games, that these young players are going to start to develop this habit. I get it, over this 10-game winning streak, you've come down the stretch and you've lost three games in which you've had a 10-point lead or larger going into the fourth quarter, and their inability to close out games is troubling. But at the same time, it's like, okay, let's take a step back. Let's look at this roster and actually evaluate who's going to be here in 2 or 3 years and really who that this is going to affect the most. I think we're getting all sorts of out of wax, and people are getting way too upset about, like, people making jokes about this being a tank loss. And I get it, for the players that are going to be here, you'd like to see a closeout win and you'd like to this trend not to happen. But I think we're jumping on it way too early in we're a little bit over a quarter of the way through a season in the first year of a rebuild. I think we all just need to take a relax.
Yeah.
We all just need to take a chill pill.
Yeah. I mean, I think you have a point there. There was a lot of talk after the game last night on Twitter about saying, it's a bad habit, not closing out close games like this, not closing out games where you're leading comfortably for most of it. And there's some truth to that. But at the same time, as you said, it's kind of like, all right, well, the Bulls don't have a go-to closer right now. That's what this is. You talk about the pieces that are hopefully going to be around for the long haul. Chris Dunn and Lauri Markkanen are the two on the court right now until LaVine comes back that qualify for want to be around for the long haul. And to me, that one possession where you have Denzel Valentine in, like, an isolation where he's dribbling too much. He wasn't sure if he wanted to step back or drive to the hole. He just kind of got caught in no man's land and has a really bad turnover. Like, as much as we've talked about Denzel Valentine improving his play this season, becoming more versatile, he had a couple of really nice assists earlier on in that game. He's shooting the three ball well, but he, as much as we joke about his heroics in summer league a year ago, when the Bulls were summer league champs in 2016,
oh, yeah.
Like, he's not a game closer. Denzel Valentine is not a game closer. You want the ball in Chris Dunn's hands, and you want Hoiberg to ideally find a shot for Lauri Markkanen. One of those two guys, if the game is on the line until LaVine comes back, should be running things. And Dunn just had a couple of rough possessions there. Markkanen had that possession when the Bulls were still clinging to a 1-point lead where he was down on the post and got double teamed, had his shot blocked, and then it, like, went off of his hand, so the ball went back to Indy. Like, tough things happened to Dunn and to Markkanen down the stretch of that game. But I mean, that's life. That's life for a team that is, you know, throwing young guys out there and trying to close games when really none of them have that DNA of a game closer yet. And if I'm putting the fault on anybody for this, most of it, I think, goes to Fred Hoiberg, because this is, as I said, the third time in this losing streak where the Bulls have had a double-digit lead, had a lead, a cushion lead in the fourth quarter, and can't close. And if the offense falls apart, and Dunn said it, and Valentine said it, everybody said it after that game, yeah, the offense just panicked and fell apart, and we didn't close. That's an indictment on the coach.
So there's a quote from Chris Dunn after the game last night. This is from Darnell Mayberry from The Athletic Chicago. And he talked to Chris Dunn, and Chris Dunn had this to say about their last 30 seconds of that play. So the Bulls, after they turn the ball over, they let the Pacers tie the game. He said, coming into that timeout, this is Chris Dunn's words. He says, that was the big thing. Down the stretch, it wasn't smooth. We didn't know what play we wanted to run. And so it reads this. Read that last sentence again. The Bulls didn't know what play they wanted to run. There's a lot that these Bulls get a pass for, and rightfully so. They're undermanned and outmatched, but to know what play they're running, that's awful and made worse only by the fact that it seems it's become a routine occurrence. So if you want to be mad about that, if you want to be mad about the fact that the Bulls can't close out games early on in the season, then be mad about the coaching, because he hits it spot on there. It's like, if your players who you're trying to develop and try to be a part of this core of this team don't even know what play you're supposed to run at the end of the game in a one possession game, and you saw how the end of the game turned out. They dribbled the ball for 10 of the last 12 seconds, dished it off to Lauri Markkanen, and gave Lauri Markkanen a shitty shot from three to try to win it. Like, you gave him no opportunity to really get a good shot or try to get him open for that last shot. I know they wanted to give him the ball there, but that's an indictment on the coaching. Like, Fred Hoiberg, you've got to know exactly what you want to run at the end of the game and who the ball should be getting in their hands, and you should be pounding that into Chris Dunn's head and everybody else that's going to be on the floor there. And I think that's the biggest part of this. And Fred Hoiberg should be taking a ton of this blame. And also for the fact that the Bulls only scored 4 baskets in the last 8 minutes of this game. 4 baskets in the last 8 minutes of the game. So that's pretty pathetic, too. If you want to be mad about the loss, that the Bulls didn't pick up this win, that they can't close out games, be mad about the coaching, because that's pathetic that you don't even know what play you want to run with 12 seconds left in the game down one possession.
Yeah, it's bad. And part of it, again, is you would probably have a better idea of what play you want to run if you have a guy who is the guy you run plays for. And right now, the Bulls just don't really have that guy. But it was a lot. It just seemed like a stack on a stack on a stack of horribly run offense in that last 6 minutes. Another one that comes to mind, Justin Holiday had a really bad turnover with, I think, like around 2 minutes and change left when the Bulls were still up 4. And Holiday gets trapped. He doesn't call a timeout for some reason. The Pacers steal the ball. They get an easy dunk the other way to cut the lead to 2. It's like, if you're a Holiday, why do you not call a timeout there? If you're trapped and have nowhere to go with the ball, you've lost your dribble, you can't find an outlet pass, call a timeout. I mean, Holiday's a veteran. He should know that, but also Fred Hoiberg should be on the sideline yelling at him, hey, dude, call a timeout. We have a timeout to use, and we need to score on this possession. The Bulls got outscored 19-4 down the stretch of this game. 19-4! Finished 1-for-10 from the field in the final minutes. Like, that's disgusting.
And to that point, the Bulls led this entire game. So they led for 47 minutes and 30 seconds. 47 minutes and 30 seconds, and they blew it in the last 30 seconds that they didn't have the lead. They were owning this game. They were playing the best basketball I think we've seen from this Bulls team in this stretch of 23 games for the first 3 quarters of this game. And for some reason, this fourth quarter just went destructive. And Robin Lopez put it right, too, is he said also, too, is like, we stopped running plays. We stopped running the offense we were running in the first half. We started to try to play more isolation, and guys were trying to find shots on their own, and it wasn't working. And that's clear. It's like, why were they going away from what they were doing so well in the first half and all of a sudden trying to play hero ball? And it was like they were playing more so in terms of trying not to lose the game rather than trying to win. And that's also something Robin Lopez said, too. And he's like, we've got to get that factor out of our mind. We can't play not to lose. We got to play to try and win these games. So my overall point with just the frustration, if you want to be mad about something, be mad at Fred Hoiberg, because regardless of how bad they played in the fourth quarter and giving up that lead, you're still within one possession to try and knock this game off and try to get that win. When you don't even know what play you're running with 12 seconds left, that's pretty pathetic.
Another, this is maybe just a smaller factor in this game because you don't really think about it until you realize that the Bulls lost by 2 in a game that they were leading comfortably. The Bulls have not been a good free throw shooting team all season thus far. They're bad at getting to the line. Not many people on this team are aggressive enough. We saw some good, strong, aggressive takes from Dunn again last night. David Nwaba has looked aggressive since he's come back. He always looks to attack the rim. But they're not a big free throw shooting team, and they're also not making their free throws. They were 8 of 16 in that game. 50% from the free throw line. If a few more guys make a couple more free throws, even with that fourth quarter collapse, they would have had enough of a lead that Indy's comeback would have fallen short. I mean, free throws, for crying out loud. That's something that even a rebuilding team should be able to do. Any NBA team as a whole that's shooting less than 65% from the free throw line, that's an embarrassment.
In the same token with the free throws, Lauri Markkanen didn't shoot one free throw in this game. That can't happen. Your best player on the floor, your best scorer on the floor, can't take no free throws throughout the entire game. You got to find a way to work him in down low. I get it. Like, he wants to take these jump shots and you want to try to get him open from the 3-point line. But at some point, you got to try to let him work down low too. And this is another thing that they talked about late in this game is Robin Lopez and Lauri Markkanen were busting their ass in the defensive end and working guys down low. But when you get to the offensive end of the ball, the guards weren't giving them any chance or any touches at all. And they were getting frustrated. And you could see that. And there was 2 or 3 plays in a row where you saw Robin Lopez or Lauri Markkanen not even get a touch on the offensive end, and they were frustrated to let guys run right through. So that's another thing. It's like you got to get everybody involved. And as much as you want to try to play hero ball, and I don't know if it's Denzel Valentine, Chris Dunn, whoever was on the floor late, You've got to stick to the game plan. And like we talked about, the first three quarters, they were running the offensive well. They were passing the ball. They were sharing it. The last quarter, they got out assisted 14 to 4. Like, when you're passing the ball around and working it so well for three quarters, and then you just go away from that in the fourth quarter because the Pacers are going on a little bit of a run, that's sad. And that's also, it goes back to Fred Hoiberg, too. It's like, you've got to emphasize it. You got to drill it into these guys' heads that, like, continue to do what we were doing well and forget about what runs the Pacers are going on, and don't be nervous down the stretch that, you know, one costly turnover is going to all of a sudden blow this entire thing up. And that's kind of what happened in this fourth quarter. Is like, the Bulls had a few turnovers, the Pacers were knocking down a couple shots, and all of a sudden it turned into a complete mess. 29 points for the Pacers in the fourth quarter, 13 for the Bulls. And like I said, they scored three buckets in the last 8 minutes of that quarter. So this entire game, that entire last 8 minutes of the game falls straight on Fred Hoiberg. You know, you want to talk about Denzel Valentine dribbling the ball and turning it over with less than a minute left in the game. Okay, point to that. You want to talk about Chris Dunn being on the floor for the last 3 minutes and being the commander of this so-called trying to close this game out. Okay, you can put part of the blame on him too as well. But ultimately, it goes back to Fred Hoiberg, and this is pathetic, and this is another reason, like, people look at him and is like, is he really the guy to be creating this rebuild and to trying to develop these players, especially down the stretch when you can't even tell your players what play to run with the last 12 seconds in the game? That's where you get it.
Yeah, and that's something that I think Lopez, who is the veteran leader of this team, unquestionably has also echoed that sentiment of, like, once that doubt creeps in, it's like the Bulls knew as that Pacers comeback was taking place in the middle of the fourth quarter. It's like, and Hoiberg has talked about it too, like, we get our heads down when we're on the wrong side of a run, of a streak, where you know our opponent puts up 10 or 12 to our two. We put our heads down, and it's like, it's they feel the inevitability of coughing up a lead because they're a rebuilding team, they're a tanking team, they're a losing team. And that is the one concern. And I know you started the segment by saying, all right, everybody, let's pump the brakes. Like, we're 22 games into a rebuild year one. We're going to lose some games where we maybe have the opportunity to win them and we cough up a lead. But it's becoming numb to losing that is the danger and the concern for a team that's to me, that's why I was like, as much as it's great to get another loss for those ping pong balls, like, morale is a thing. And especially for the young guys, if they just become numb to defeat, then there will be plenty of games where they go out there and from the opening tip say, we're not going to win this game, so why bother trying? And that is something that can't be happening in that locker room, in that Bulls organization right now. Even though they're 3-20, they need to be able to at least have the confidence to say, when that ball goes up, I don't care who we're playing, we're going to play hard, and maybe we'll give ourselves a chance to win at the end. But it's losses like the one they took to the Pacers last night that make you lose that belief that you can win a game. Because they absolutely 110% should have won that game, had every right and reason to win that game, and they didn't because they just quit.
One last thing I want to touch on before we get out of here is the last shot of the game, so the game that gave the Pacers that lead. You have to believe that every Bulls player on that floor has to understand, on that turnover where Victor Oladipo got the turnover and comes on the court, you have to pressure the best guy on that team, on that roster. Like, Victor Oladipo is got his name in Most Improved Player of the Year so far through this season.
He's crushing it.
He is. He's killing it.
I mean, honestly, it makes it look like the Pacers got a steal in that Paul George trade. Everybody laughed at that trade when it happened, but the Pacers look like the clear winner of that trade right now.
And, man, I'll say this, too. I saw Victor Oladipo while I was in college and while he was at Indiana, and, like, people knocked on him and said, you know, he shouldn't have went in the top five, and that's a different discussion for a different day. He wasn't in a great situation his first couple of years in the league, and now it seems like he's gotten into a situation. He's back in Indiana, too, and it seems like he's playing really well, but you've got to understand that the best guy on the floor should not be given 2, 3, 4, 5 feet of space to take that open three like he did down one.
Yeah.
Like, you're up one possession with less than a minute left.
I mean, let's be real. Like, the Bulls' transition defense has been awful all year.
True.
Nobody put pressure on the ball, and it was not at all surprising to see that happen.
So it was a crushing loss, but this is what I'll say to wrap this up, is as much as like you want to say this is an indictment and that you know, you shouldn't be cheering in, like we said, I made a couple jokes too last night that this was like the greatest tank loss of all time because the Bulls played great for 47 minutes and 30 seconds. Like, it's funny to say that, but I don't think we shouldn't be like, oh, you know, like this is an indictment on the young players and, you know, they're going to start to develop bad habits. Like, we're in a losing streak. It's the beginning of a rebuild. It's the first year of a rebuild. You've got rookies playing on the floor. Let's also not forget that the Bulls have next to no talent on this roster, like in terms of guys that can close out games. Like you had brought up before, you dropped Zach LaVine back in this. This is maybe a different conversation for a different time. So we'll see when he comes back to how different this is played, and maybe some of this other things will work themselves out. But I think we just need to relax in terms of like these guys building up bad habits. I get that. That's part of the coaching's problem too, but in terms of like getting upset and thinking that these guys are going to start developing these bad habits early, I think it's way too early to pinpoint or to title that in this way. I just think it's a bad losing streak. The Bulls have had a bunch of opportunities to win games throughout this losing streak, and that's how you're going to learn. That's how these guys that are out there, like Chris Dunn and Lauri Markkanen, Denzel Valentine, players that you're hoping that will be a part of this team when you get to the point where your rebuild is competitive again and you're ultimately going to a championship. Like those are three players I can pinpoint on this roster that are like, okay, those are the guys that are probably going to still hopefully be around. Chris Dunn and Lauri Markkanen being the most important part of that. Like, I get that. But everybody else on this roster, probably not going to be hanging around when the point where you're trying to close out games and you're trying to be competitive. Probably not going to be on this roster, so I'm not so concerned with it.
No, I think I feel you there. I think I would largely agree. And, you know, I guess if you take anything from it, and it's sad and it's depressing, but it is another loss. It's another loss that will inch the Bulls a little closer to having the best shot at a number one pick that they desperately need right now, if you talk about that lack of talent on the floor. So with that, let's do a little a tankathon update segment, looking where the Bulls stand and check in on some of the guys that they might be targeting with their upcoming lottery pick in 2018. First of all, we should note that the Atlanta Hawks, who are chasing the Bulls for the worst record in the league right now, they also suffered a late collapse. They had a 9-point lead in the fourth quarter last night, and they coughed it up, lost in overtime to Orlando. The Hawks now 5-19. So two more wins than the Bulls, but they managed to cough one up as well last night. The Bulls still have the worst record in the NBA right now. Obviously, you know, we've talked about maybe those wins kind of stack up a little bit more regularly once Zach LaVine comes back. So before he comes back, let's rack up as many losses as we can. Dallas Mavericks and Sacramento Kings, both with 7 wins. Memphis at 8, Phoenix at 9. Clippers and Lakers both also just have 8. Charlotte and Brooklyn 9. There are a lot of bad teams in the league right now, but none of them seem quite as bad as the Bulls, who have a league-worst 10-game losing streak right now. Nobody else has a losing streak greater than 5.
Yes, but I think that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Remember, follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls_Peck. Find us on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time on the Nothing But Net channel. Like us on Facebook, Facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, and Google Play. Anywhere you find podcasts, you'll find us. We'll be back tomorrow on Friday with a brand new episode, kind of preview what's going on for the weekend with the Bulls. Hope we have a great day. Enjoyed this episode. Go catch all of the content that we've dropped in the last 72 hours. We've got 3 brand new episodes, so make sure you catch up before tomorrow's episode. But for Jordan and Matt, we're out.